Is baseball your next big thing? Spring training will soon be in full swing. We know managers have already arrived at their spring training sites, and in many cases, pitchers and catchers are there early, fully reporting over the next couple of days. And obviously, by early March, we're talking full-blown spring training with opening day then on the horizon. So as we ask you, post-football, what is your next big thing? I would love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a post up there where you can reply, or you can find us on our Facebook page. And in case you want to mark your calendars, March 30th is opening day for the 2023 season. 30 on 30. March 30th, with all 30 teams scheduled to play, unless, of course, there is a weather-related postponement or delay. It's the first time since 1968 that every baseball team will open on the same day. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun because it gives every fan something to look forward to. And there's very passionate fan bases. Now, certainly, March 30th generally would be considered dicey in a lot of the cold weather cities, the northern climes, except a lot of them are experiencing record warm temperatures in February. I don't know what that means about March. We'll see. I'm still praying for snow, but opening day is set for March 30th if you want to circle it with a bright red Sharpie on your calendar. Do people still have calendars? My mom gave me this really cool planner notebook, and I love this kind of stuff because I'm so anal retentive. I really enjoy writing everything out and kind of having little stickers on my calendar, my planner, and I have a lot going on. It's been sitting on my dining room table for the last 6 weeks, and I haven't written one thing in it yet. So I missed all of January. It makes me so upset every day. I see it, and I just need to grab it this weekend and start writing in what I've got coming up, because I do have a lot of obligations, but also a lot of fun activities scheduled in my next, two, three weeks, and then vacation coming up in March, and well, a short vacation in March. It's not really vacation. It's more just like a long weekend. And then my actual vacation around my birthday in April and the start of my new class. And I want all of it to be reflected in this planner, because 2023 to me represents a new start and a chance to put some of the ick behind me in the rearview mirror. But yeah, for 6 weeks it's been sitting there and I haven't written a darn thing in it yet, because that's what the football playoffs do. That's what the craziness of Super Bowl week does. And so I'm determined, as we put football in the rearview mirror, my next big thing is organizing my planner. I'm such a nerd. Maybe I'll do it while I'm watching Daytona on Sunday, because that will definitely be my next big sports thing. So whether for you it's baseball opening day, whether it's Stanley Cup playoffs or the NBA All-Star Game or the NBA postseason, which goes on forever, maybe it's golf. The Masters is not that far away, and we have now seen a smiling Tiger Woods, who got under 70, under par, in his first PGA Tour round since last July, since the Open Championship. Would love to hear from you. What's your next big thing? Again, on Twitter or on Facebook, and then our phone number is toll-free, 855-212-4CBS. We've got a bunch of you weighing in on both of our social media sites. Producer Jay is retweeting the ones on Twitter. And then, of course, you can go and be part of the community on our Facebook page. But why don't we hear from one Tiger Woods, who was able to birdie his final three holes. And if you saw any of the highlights, or maybe you were watching the round itself, well, then you know he was flashing the pearly whites. This is at the Genesis Invitational. And by the way, 10:30 Eastern, so about 7:30 Riviera time, 7:30 LA time, is when this featured group will tee off in the morning. They were in the afternoon on Thursday, which means they flip and they will have an earlier tee time in the morning. In fact, one of the earliest. But yes, Tiger Woods was able to birdie the last three holes to pull within five strokes of the leaders, Max Homa and Keith Mitchell. And there are a lot of people that noticed that big smile as he walked off the 18th green.
I think it's the group. Okay, so you know, JT hoops one in there, and then Rory's been beating us all day, and he's nervous as can be because he didn't want to be the one to miss on 18, and I didn't want to be the idiot host to miss it right in front of everybody after I just went birdie.
So he's kind of joking, fooling around there. This is his invitational, benefits his foundation, and his playing partners were Rory, who loves orbiting the sun that is Tiger Woods, and JT, as he calls him, not Justin Timberlake, though that would have been fun, Justin Thomas. And actually, get this, he was hitting the ball off the tee over 320. Multiple drives went over 320. He even had a few drives go more than 330. And he was out driving Rory and Justin. So as he makes his return, seems like he's in a good spot. A lot of joy on his face. Fans obviously really excited about seeing him out there and seeing him walk around. And he is, at this point anyway, despite the ankle that he still has to deal with every time he golfs, he appears to be in a good groove. Now, it's just one round. But it is great to see him back in a PGA Tour event for the first time in 7 months.
I was able to simulate nerves at home because I've come off layoffs before, and I was able to simulate that stuff. But there's nothing like coming game time. Just the feeling of the butterflies and trying to calm all that stuff down. The adrenaline, the ball goes further, even though it's cold out here. It was going even further than we expected. I had to dial all that back in. Joey hadn't seen me hit a golf ball in a while, and so obviously his feels are, we're trying to get, the feels for out there and the shots and the distances, and we adapted very quickly.
He actually mentioned adrenaline in his post-match press conference because of how the adrenaline was pumping. He was even getting more distance off the tee and said he had to figure out which clubs to use. Now, not when you're driving, obviously, but when you're not using your driver off the tee, he had to adjust the club choice, and he mentions his caddy there as well, based on that adrenaline and the extra yardage that he was experiencing from the adrenaline. He said, even though it's cold out here, the ball was going further than we expected. I had to dial all that back in. Just trying to keep that adrenaline and those nerves and the butterflies, as he put it, in check. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He got better as the round went on, which is good because there was some talk that the back nine, which is more difficult to walk and also would be coming when he's tired and when his ankle is tired. And then you kind of saw it at the turn. He had bogeys on hole number 10 and hole number 12, but then rallied and steadied, went three straight pars and three straight birdies to finish up. And actually on the 18th hole, it was an easy birdie. It was just 6-7 feet maybe. So yeah, you can tell that he's thrilled to be out there. We're not talking about the pressure of a major, but I can imagine that with Tiger, anytime he can play around that's competitive, that puts him in the mix, and he can do it without experiencing a ton of pain or a noticeable limp or having to withdraw because he can't physically get through it. All of those represent minor victories, and together, that means he's having a grand old time out there.
It was a great round, ebb and flow of us needling each other, encouraging each other, and telling stories because I haven't been out here, so I had missed some of the things that have transpired on tour, which is kind of fun.
You know, something else that he said that I thought was really intriguing, and I don't really want to think too much into it because he says my ankle is a lot smaller than it's been. And he was talking about how the shape of his ankle, as well as his shoe size and how his socks fit, all of that is changing because of the surgeries. And he has to keep in mind how much he's on his feet, how much golf he plays, how much he's able to work out otherwise. Sometimes the muscles need a rest. Sometimes his leg and his ankle need a rest. But how do you stay ready? How do you stay in rhythm if you don't put in the practice time? If you know Tiger's history, you know that he was notorious for the time that he put in on the range, certainly the time he put in on his short game, but also how he worked out. Remember, he once tore his ACL running before a U.S. Open and then ended up playing the entire major on a torn ACL? I think that was in 2008, the last major he won before the Masters a couple of years ago. So he used to be notorious with the weightlifting. He was all about the muscles and being fit. And he changed the level of fitness in golf. He set a tone that really required the rest of golf. If you wanted to be serious, you had to be as fit. If you wanted to drive the ball off the tee like he did, you had to be as fit. And remember, there was a phenomenon going on in golf for a while called tiger-proofing courses. They were lengthening courses and lengthening holes because Tiger was able to drive the green and they needed it to be more competitive. So it used to be called tiger-proofing. Well, if you're another golfer and you're not driving it as far as he is, well, then you're at a disadvantage. And he changed the fitness in golf. Now, I get it. There are a lot of older golfers that at the time were in their 40s and were kind of late stages of their PGA careers. So they weren't going to change how they played the game of golf. But the influx of young golfers, the golfers even now that we see who grew up wanting to be Tiger Woods, many of them are extremely fit. Not all of them, but many of them have made fitness a huge part of their preparation and their training. Rory McIlroy was there on the course with Tiger and JT, as we heard. And they, again, will tee off early on Friday. So only a 14-hour turnaround. There's a lot of people who are looking at that and wondering how that might affect Tiger. Wondering if not having the opportunity to rest as much. Now, you hope he was able to get to bed right away after a good meal and really get off that foot, that ankle, for quite a while to kind of give it a break. But it is a very quick turnaround. And so there are people who are going to be watching every step that he takes, every breath you take, every step you make. Okay, so you've got his playing partners who are kind of going back and forth with him. Justin Thomas is a stroke better than Tiger. So Tiger's sitting at -2. Justin's at -3. Rory is at -4. The leaders are at -7. Now, there's a lot of guys who are in that early or those low rounds. A lot of guys who are just right there in a big old mix. It's not an extremely difficult course. And so the best of the best are going to carve it up. And that's what they're doing. So when you think about Tiger being 5 strokes back, it's not just that. He's tied for 27. So there are dozens and dozens of golfers that are between him and the leaderboard. One of those being Rory. I'm not sure if you all have seen the promos for the new Netflix series. You probably will see it if you watch any of the coverage of the Genesis Invitational because they're promoting it really hard. It's called Full Swing. It's a golf documentary, and there's a clip that's going around of Rory in his relationship with Tiger Woods and how Tiger's very supportive. And honestly, this reminds me of how Kobe Bryant was late in his career too. This is a kinder, gentler Tiger who wants to be a mentor, who wants to coach and be benevolent and helpful to some of the younger guys who have come up behind him. From when
we live without a care. He's always the first. Always. Tiger. He'll text you like before the last putt drops. Always the first. He's unreal.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. Got a busy day on my phone tomorrow. Get back to the mall then. Pretty sweet though.
Oh dear, that sounds very sappy. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we're glad to have you. I can see a lot of you are already weighing in on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Producer Jay is busy retweeting and liking. So that's good. Love this idea, this concept. We do it every single year. Move aside, football, at least for now. And actually, free agency doesn't start for a couple more weeks, though. Derek Carr is already free to negotiate with teams because of the way his contract was structured when he got released by the Raiders. We know the coaching carousel for head coaches is done, but not for coordinators. There's still job openings out there. So there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of talk. The Combine begins at the end of February, so that's a big convention. It's like the next big convention, right? They have a convention every month in football. But it's certainly a showcase to help spring forward into draft season. So there's plenty of football. If you're jonesing for football, don't worry. There's plenty that's on the horizon and that we'll be talking about. However, the next big thing in terms of sporting event, maybe it is the draft for you, but there's a lot between now and then. Baseball opening day, the Daytona 500, the Masters, and really the PGA Tour shifting to the East Coast and some of the warmer climes in the Southeast. Whether you're really into March Madness in college basketball or it's the All-Star game for the NBA and then boom, right into the final quarter of the season with the playoffs, the Stanley Cup postseason too. A lot of you are into the USFL and are really excited about that. So love to hear from you. And Mike, I see we'll take your call here, 855-212-4227. Coming up as well, the Philadelphia Eagles have their last couple exit interviews. That includes Howie Roseman talking about Jalen Hurts and his contract extension, and Nick Sirianni as well, because Nick losing both of his coordinators to head coaching gigs. NFL is such a copycat league. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Bunker for what could be and should be the winning 3 points. The ball is spotted. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And the Chiefs lead 38-35 with 8 seconds remaining.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That effectively ended the Super Bowl and the 2022 NFL season. Mitch Holtis. Oh, no, that's Merrill Reese. Wait a minute. What was that? That was the field goal, right? Okay. But we're getting the Eagles version because that is very exciting. So the Merrill Reese version. Sorry, as I said that, I was like, that's not Mitch Holtis. But I know that field goal. I know that field goal. So it effectively ended the 2022 season. Chiefs are champions, and I'm sure they're still cleaning up in downtown Kansas City. Let's hope that Patrick Mahomes has sobered up by now. I know on the Kelce Brothers podcast, it was recorded on Tuesday. This is actually pre-parade. Travis said he was still bleeping hammered. So, yeah, lots of cleaning up and sobering up. And just getting post-football and breathing. And it's not just the players, right? It's the industry. It's fans, too. And I know there's a letdown. There are some withdrawals, to be sure. But sports never stop. What is your next big thing? Lots of you weighing in already on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on that's Twitter. And then on Facebook, same thing, named after the show. And we'll get to some of your reaction coming up. No poll this year. We generally do a poll, but instead we're just keeping it as a wide open question. So I say go and paint your blank canvas. Whatever it is that you want to, whatever it is that you want to fill your spring with, the possibilities are endless when it comes to sports. 855-212-4227. Mike is in Baltimore. Mike, what do you think?
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Gosh, it's been an adventure. I've been trying to get through to you since Tuesday. I wanted to wish you a happy belated Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's kind of you. Thank you.
Also, you're my birthday twin.
Oh, that's right.
Almost April 7th as opposed to April 8th.
Yes.
But my next big thing is basically the spring training with the Orioles and the March Madness. And That's basically what I'm looking forward to. But I have one burning question. I know this is not the Ask Amy section, but last week I'm thinking I heard something, or maybe I was just delirious because this time of night I'd be falling off. But did I hear you say that you were waiting to listen to Let's Go by Gloria? What was it, Glorilla?
What?
Did you say last week that you were waiting to listen to the song Let's Go, or was I just imagining that?
Well, I would say probably, because I don't know exactly what you're talking about, I would say that if I was referring to Let's Go, that it was the podcast that Tom Brady does with Jim,
okay.
Jim Gray. Yeah. So I would say, at least in my current memory bank, that's the only reference to Let's Go that I could think of.
All right. Because this time of night, you know, I'm nodding and whatever, but I thought I heard you say something about you wanted to listen to the song Let's Go. Cause it's a nice little song with a hook to it. Let's go. But if you Google it, you'll see. I was like, Amy, listen to Let's Go. But yeah, but I'm glad finally I got in touch with you, and just said, you're my almost birthday twin.
Almost birthday
sister
twin.
From another mother, and glad to hear you. Glad to hear you.
Nice to hear you too, Mike. Well, thank you for listening, right. Even in your delirium. That's fine.
Okay,
we'll keep you company.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. Since I don't know what song he's referring to, I'm going to assume that I was talking about the Let's Go podcast, since I have been talking a ton about podcasting these days. Oh my gosh. Between the Tom Brady podcast, as he starts to exercise his broadcasting muscles. I mean, if you need some tips, some pointers, I'm here and available to help. Also,
as far as I know, I don't know everything.
You definitely do not know everything, but you know a lot of things about football, which will help. Then the Pat McAfee show with Aaron Rodgers, the hour-long appearance that he does. I felt like I needed to listen to all of it to really get the lay of the land with A-Ron. And I believe he is either in his darkness or is headed to his darkness soon, because he told us it was end of the week. So, yay. I mean, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Don't make it up, okay?
Okay, I'll try not to. And then the 2 hours I spent listening to the Kelce brothers, which actually did me really well, gave us some great broadcasting material. And I'm not sure if you know this, but the exchange between between Jason and Travis, but the exchange between the two of them where they're talking about Jason seeing mom for the first time on the field, mom Donna, they called her a superstar for how she handled last week and how she crushed it. That was the word that Travis said. I wonder if mom's going to make an appearance on SNL when Travis hosts coming up. I think it's in April or something. He's going to be one of the guest hosts, but the clip with the two of them being completely reduced to tears, that has gone viral. I mean, I heard it on Fox News yesterday. So it's gone viral. Those two and the way that they just were overwhelmed talking about mom, talking about dad, talking about their family being in the spotlight. You'll hear it. You'll see it. Yeah, the Kelces have gone viral.
The moment I saw mom is when I got really emotional because, man, it was so awesome. It was...
All right, now.
Yeah. It was awesome for, you know, she was on top of the world for a week.
She was the heavyweight champ, man. She was on top of it, and she shined the whole time, man. That was the coolest part. Mom, you absolutely killed it. Dad, you've been killing it.
Yep. It was just so cool, man, to see you know, her get to celebrate in that with us.
Yeah. I'm with you, brother.
It was an awesome moment. Just so happy for her, and so happy that you know, she got her moment. Dad got his. So, yeah, I was the only, ironically, you know, you lose the Super Bowl and you're crying after the game, and they're not tears of sadness. You know, they're tears of joy.
Listen to the two of them. They're big lumps. I love it. Now they're gigantic football players. They're larger than life. Travis Kelce runs around quoting WWE wrestlers, worldwide wrestlers. What is it? What worldwide wrestling something? What's the E stand for?
World Wrestling Entertainment, I think.
Oh, okay. He runs around quoting these big dudes who wrestle for fun. And he's just a jabroni. I mean, half the time, that's what he acts like. And he loves that word. He calls his mom a heavyweight champ. I mean, the two of them, they're so much fun most of the time. They're bros most of the time. But when it comes to mom, just a big puddle. And I absolutely love that. And so all that to say, my time this week listening to podcast after podcast after podcast and 2 hours with the Kelce brothers was time well spent. I don't feel like it was time wasted. I got a lot of biking done while I was listening to the Kelce brothers. I do feel like my entire week disappeared in football podcasts, but whatever. And so I just love that. And I love the fact that their podcast has become one of the top in the world. Actually, it's top five with Apple and Spotify, and that's all podcasts, not just sports podcasts. And I hope that their podcast continues to be what it is now, which is authentic and fun and goofy and just the two of them. And so, we'll hear a little bit more because we are going to do A, QB news, and B, we're also going to hear from the Eagles, their exit interviews, because we had already heard from players, but we had not heard from the coach and the general manager. And now they've got some challenges in front of them, even coming off their NFC championship. So what did I say? As much as we're looking ahead to the next big thing, football never really goes away. So we've got, let's see, producer Jay. I never want to catch him off guard again, ever, because the last time I did, it went horribly wrong.
Not great.
No, right. Well, Jay is... he's a producer. He's got a lot happening back there. And so I caught him off guard the other morning, and he actually gave me a row. He was kind of annoyed at me because he said,
no.
Like, oh, you were too. You said, I've kind of been busy back here. That's what you said. You said it on the air. Go back and listen to the podcast. So Marco's in here. Marco, so you were already gone. Someone else had come in. Someone else comes in to do the update in our final hour. And we're getting toward the top of the hour, and I was asking Jay, do you remember what the category was? It was to finish the sentence. Find someone who loves you as much as what? And here I'm thinking, well, you know, Jay and I talked about the topic before the show, and we've had a few hours, and so I thought, wouldn't it be nice to include the producer and allow him to share his thoughts? And he didn't really have an answer available, and then I said, well, you've had a few hours. What have you come up with? Because he always has a list, right? And his response was, I've been kind of busy back here.
All right. It was
so,
not like
oh,
that.
Oh, it so was. It so was, producer Jay. Just admit it. You were not happy with me, and you thought I put you on the spot. So no more putting Jay on the spot. Ever again, like ever. So Marco, why don't we give Jay some time to think about it?
I would say I have to separate you two, but there's glass. So
there
you're,
is.
You're
in fact, it's a good thing for him because sometimes I want to throw this Sharpie at his head.
Oh, you have.
And so, well, I have, but it always runs into the glass.
That's
so
true. I've seen it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it takes quite a boomerang bounce too off the glass. And then I get mad because my Sharpie's on the floor. That's really my own fault. Yes. So, right. He's protected. He's totally fine. You're going to be lucky it's not a knife. So anyway, see what I mean? Jay's still mad that I called him out and he wasn't ready. So why don't we give Jay a minute or whatever, and you can tell me, as a sports fan, what's your next big thing? What are you most excited about as a fan?
Ooh, yeah, because this is kind of like a little bit of a lull period. I would probably say that it would be the actual start of the baseball season. Spring training is nice and all. That's great. It's fun. It's the talk. Hey, look, it's kind of, when they actually start opening day. Get me to opening day, because the spring training stuff, it's great. I love that everyone's in the best shape of their lives.
Not Jacob DeGrom.
Get me to opening day. Get me to opening day.
All right.
That's where I want to go.
March 30th. How do you like the idea of 30 on the 30th? 30 teams on the 30th.
I didn't think of it, but sure. Yeah, I can go with that. Whatever gets
this is how my brain works.
Whatever gets to throwing the first pitch and we can actually have baseball nightly, I will be happy again.
Mm. So last year it happened that we were in the lockout, and then all of a sudden the lockout was done because they decided that's it. They can't miss opening day. Fans were starting to turn on them. Remember, it was a week late.
Starting.
Yeah, it was. Well, let's be fair. Fans returned in droves. Like, they're really, it's almost as though the lockout is a distant memory and people don't even remember what happened. And so they pushed back spring training, or they pushed back the start of the season. And wouldn't you know, I already had the day off or some such nonsense. So I missed opening day last year. I wasn't even here. So they better not move it, because I'm actually going to be working on March 30th. So let's see if they screw with me this year. But yeah, you're right. Spring training gets to be long, and it's against my religion to give spring training scores because it's dumb. They're exhibition games. It's kind of like preseason football.
Yeah, no. You're actually better off with preseason football than spring training games. Who played? I don't know. A bunch of guys. They split the squad.
They split the squad. Like, exactly.
That's not about it. It's just a question of who's actually, you know, ready and who's going to be ready on opening day, who's already pulled an oblique and, you know, a calf and a hamstring. You know, we find out about all that stuff.
March 30th is a Thursday, in case you're wondering. March 30th.
I didn't realize that.
That'll be the first weekend, going into the first weekend of April.
That's, you know, we talk about spring and eternal. Get me to opening day, and then that kind of bleeds into everything else. And then you're talking about NBA playoffs and everything. I realize I skipped over March Madness. I get it. But that, I didn't mean that on purpose, but it's just the idea.
You're a fan.
Let's go into and head towards the playoffs as well.
All right. So that's his next big thing. I'm a little bit nervous about asking producer Jay, but he might give me the, what's the name of that movie with Glenn Close where she's like, ee, 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 ee.
That's not.
What's the name of the movie? Yes,
Psycho?
It is.
Psycho?
Oh, Psycho. But what's the name of the movie where she's like, Glenn Close is going at, she goes completely nuts.
Yeah. Michael Douglas.
Yes. What is the name of that movie? That's driving me crazy. I feel like she came after him with a knife too.
But 80s, you're right. That's 80s movies.
Yeah, that's Psycho. That's Psycho.
Psycho is the
with Kathy Bates.
No.
No, not that Psycho.
No. Okay. You thinking of Misery?
Oh, maybe.
Kathy Bates was in Misery.
I've never seen Misery either. I guess I just
really.
I know.
Oh,
my mom wouldn't let me watch those movies when I was a kid.
Time has passed.
That's true. Now. But don't you feel like it's super old now?
Oh.
Of course,
I
still watch Star Wars, and it's fine.
Don't do that. Come on. Just because a movie's old doesn't mean it can't be watched.
Something Attraction. Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Yes. Very good.
It could be Trivia Night.
That's the Glenn Close one. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So just, I mixed
them
all up.
You're looking for Janet Leigh, by the way, in Psycho.
It's all crazy women.
I didn't think of it that way.
Which is what Jay is trying to tell me.
Psycho's not a crazy woman. That's not a crazy woman. Not unless you want to think of, you know, him as being his mother, as being, he's not a woman.
I didn't see that movie either.
Did you see Psycho?
No, I told you my mom would not let me watch those movies when I was a kid. Okay, thank you.
You're a grown up now.
I know, but I feel like there's other movies to watch. Do you go back and watch 80s movies, 70s and 80s movies now?
Yeah.
Do you?
That ones that I haven't seen, of course. Some of them that I've already seen, but I'm kind of a movie guy, though. I love
Psycho's 1960. For God's sakes. I'm not going back to watch them.
That's what makes it even more incredible.
1960?
It's a classic, yes.
Fine. Is that my assignment? I've never seen
Psycho. So you've never seen any Alfred Hitchcock movies then? Because this last one, I think, was 1980 or 81.
Isn't The Birds Alfred Hitchcock?
Yes, it is. 1963.
I feel like I've seen The Birds. Okay. But also, it was freaky scary. It was just, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's.
So I've never seen Psycho. Let's see. Have I seen.
Not all his stuff is scary.
What did you say? Kathy Bates was in Misery.
Misery.
Misery is 1990.
Yes, with James Caan.
Maybe.
It's off a Stephen King novel.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. I've seen a lot more with James Caan's son now than I have with him. But I don't know. I'm just telling you, when I was a kid, I would be a kid then. My mom didn't really let me watch.
Again. You're an adult now. You're allowed to do
yes,
what you
I am.
You can stay up late and eat candy, too, if you'd like. And you can stay right by the TV.
That's what Jay does.
And you can watch TV 3 feet away from the screen if you want. You're an adult now. You can do what you want.
That's
You're allowed.
True. That's true. I do most of the time. I don't know. These movies give me nightmares sometimes. So, plus,
again,
when
look,
I Okay.
You say scary movies. I mean, yeah. Again, what are we talking about? Nightmare on Elm Street.
I just saw Jaws for the first time this year, okay? Or last year.
Great movie, 1975.
It was amazing. I can't wait to go back and watch it again.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's a classic. We're talking about classic movies.
Okay,
Psycho is definitely got a scary element, but I wouldn't, it's not like it's...
I saw Poltergeist when I was a kid. That's why I could never watch anything like that
that's
again.
That's what I mean. That's horror. Yes, Psycho's not in the horror category. It's more of... Thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like thrillers.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you what to do, but to me, it's silly.
Silly.
To disregard something because it's older.
Well, I'm
That's
older.
Silly.
And no one disregards. Well, people do disregard me, but at your own peril.
I get disregarded not because of my age. It's just, it's the idea that it's still class. It's good.
Okay.
Good is good.
One, though? Misery or Psycho?
I don't know what you prefer. I don't know what kind of...
Which one is your... Of the two?
Out of those two, Psycho. It's not even close. Okay. But Misery is a great movie. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. I'll figure it out. I can do this. I have a long weekend.
If you're worried about contemporary, yes, Misery is a lot more contemporary than Psycho. I mean, you'll see a lot of the differences of 1960s, you know.
I still have never watched The Godfather, for heaven's sake, so...
Yeah.
I know. Jay's going to get mad at us because we're running
late. So you
late.
Didn't see Citizen Kane then either, I'm assuming?
You haven't seen The Godfather.
Probably. I've seen Citizen Kane, yes. That was a school assignment at some point.
Yeah, see, again, that's nice and all, but this is not about homework. This is about enjoying things.
Okay.
You don't have to like Citizen Kane, but, you know.
I just want you to know.
You watch it for the right reasons, not because you got to write a book
Jaws. For it. It was a classic.
Jaws
I went
is
back
awesome.
And watched it. I also went back and watched the original Space Jam a few years ago. I'd never seen that. It was also great. Now one of my favorite movie soundtracks. I'm getting there. At least I've seen The Sound of Music. That's a classic. Wizard of Oz.
We went from Psycho.
Well, I'm just saying.
To The Godfather.
I'm just trying to get credit for seeing older movies. All right. You've done your job
Marco. Me.
Yes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and a very condescending Marco Belletti. And Jay never did get to tell us his next big thing.
Space Jam.
We spared him.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One problem is Rivera throws inside the left-handers, and left-handers get a lot of broken bad hits in the shallow outfield, the shallow part of the outfield. That's the danger in bringing the infield in with a guy like Rivera on the mound.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You may remember where you were. That was more than 20 years ago, but Luis Gonzalez for the Arizona Diamondbacks with the walk-off hit. It was a screamer over the second base, shortstop, over shortstop. And so it went out into shallow left field, and the Diamondbacks were able to walk off. It was one of the classic moments. You see the highlights every year in October as the Diamondbacks stunned the Yankees and Mariano Rivera. And Tim McCarver was on the call of that World Series for Fox. More than 20 World Series to his credit, a two-time World Series champion, part of the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and that was where he most recently was calling games. So stepped away before the pandemic and then didn't ever come back to a full-time schedule. But Tim McCarver passing away on Thursday to a mountain of tributes from the baseball world and from the broadcasting world, passing away at 81. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gary Cohen worked with Tim McCarver for years, and Cohen, as the TV voice of the Mets, paid tribute to his partner.
Tim McCarver very simply revolutionized what it meant to be a color analyst on a Major League sports broadcast, really in baseball or any other sport. Some people had laid the groundwork earlier, guys like Tony Kubek, but nobody brought the insight and honesty and the granular nature of the game. And nobody did it with more enthusiasm than Timmy did. He was a great player in his own right, having played in four decades, but he was able to see things. He was a great observer, And he was able to relate those things to non-baseball people in a way that allowed us to better enjoy the games that we already loved. Not to mention, he had a great sense of humor, great playfulness, and he enjoyed life. He was a great fan of the musical theater. He thought Mandy Patinkin was the greatest performer of all time. Timmy was one of a kind, and he will be greatly missed.
He definitely is well known to the current generation as a broadcaster, but he was an all-star catcher and a Hall of Famer and a man who spanned multiple eras. Not sure if you know this, but along with all of his accolades on the field, he was among the very few players to ever appear in games in four different decades. You want to talk about longevity, especially at the catcher position, with how much wear and tear there is for guys who are consistently behind the plate. And so, yeah, he goes back to working with Bob Gibson and won a pair of World Series with the Cardinals, and then switched to television after he retired and was part of 24 World Series, most notably on Fox alongside Joe Buck. So plenty of tributes for Tim McCarver, who passed away on Thursday at the age of 81 with his family around him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.